One of the things that I am practicing or leaning into during this time is extemporaneous preaching, which you all know is not something I've ever done before. I show up on Sunday mornings with a manuscript, and I follow that manuscript almost word for word. My sermons are usually begun on Tuesdays or Wednesdays. I've got a rough draft by Friday, and things are ready to go by Saturday evening. Things are changing so fast that typing up a manuscript on a Tuesday and preaching it on a Sunday just doesn't really seem like it's going to work. I don't know what's going to be different on Sunday. So I'm trying to stay current. I'm trying to stay honest about where I am and where I believe the hearts of this community are at the moment. So in this past week, and I started talking about this last Sunday, I have been feeling a persistent dread, a sort of low-grade anxiety that I'm carrying in my chest, and a feeling of depression and sadness. And I know that I am not alone in this feeling. I know that there are many, many other people that I know and that I am connected to that are feeling similarly, that are sharing that feeling. And I want to talk this morning about some of the why of why we might be feeling that way and a little bit about what to do about it. Human beings are not designed to withstand this much change this rapidly. We have particular ways that we ground ourselves in reality and ways that we recognize our present reality. Some of those ways are routine. I know so many people that are very dedicated to their routines, to the way that they do things every day. Another way is we mark, you know, our familiar surroundings. We have the places that we always go, the people that we always see, the things that are stable in our lives that we can always count on being there. Our routines and the landmarks of stability in our lives have been taken and shaken out and dumped all over the floor recently. So many of us have lost those landmarks and those goalposts that we anchor ourselves to. When we first decided, and I think it was only 3 Sundays ago, that we were going to suspend in-person services, we made that decision at a breakneck speed. We started in the early morning on a Tuesday or a Thursday, and by the afternoon, we had decided that we were going to have to cancel in-person services. It happened that fast. And since then, the pace of things are happening so quickly. And it's so challenging for us as human beings to adjust and to remain resilient through that much change. So that's one thing that is happening. That's one of the reasons that we may have those feelings of anxiety or dread. Another is that we're so out of control. We have no control over this. I think every person that I have spoken to about how they are coping has said to me, I have no control over this. I feel like there is nothing I can do. I talk to people who say, you know, I'm exercising every day because it's one thing that I can control. I'm baking a lot. I'm cooking a lot because it's one thing that I can control. When we begin to sense that massive elements of the world around us and our own world are not beholden to our whims, that we're not able to control them, you are destined to feel a sense of panic and unmooring. There's been an article winging around Facebook. Mary Kay sent it to me, and Karen Impola sent it to me, and several people sent it to me, and I saw it all over people's feeds. And the title of the article is something like, "That feeling that you're feeling right now is grief." And it was an interview with David Kessler. David Kessler is the psychologist and relationship counselor who worked with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross when she was first defining the five stages of grief. And they had a decades-long partnership in talking about the science and the psychology of grief. I want to remind y'all about the five stages of grief quickly. The five stages of grief are sadness, denial, bargaining, anger, and acceptance. And like I say to every grief group I have ever led, the five stages of grief do not go in order. They do not have predictable timelines, but those are the five stages of grief. And I, in so many areas of my life, I find myself counseling folks when they are undergoing massive and unexpected change, when they're feeling out of control, when something traumatic happens, saying to them, this is grief. You have to allow yourself to grieve. You must allow yourself to grieve. And I'm not talking about healing right now, because we are in the thick of grief. We can't talk about healing right now, because we're not through the other side of this. So usually, you know, I stick to healing. I focus on healing, but right now I think it's okay to focus on our grief. Of course we're grieving. I think for me, you know, our seventh principle, the interconnected web of all existence, which we all are a part, that has never been more real and tangible than it is to me now. I've never felt it in a more concrete way than I do now. You know, previously, I have always loved that principle, because in a very new age spiritual way, I have been able to say, well, that principle is how we explain that I am part of you, and you are part of me, and you are part of them, and they are part of us, and we are all part of each other. Right? That's the new age way. It's the quick way for me to say that, which is so foundational to my personal theology, a belief that we are all connected. Now, that has become so real. We know that we are more connected to each other than we have ever been in the history of humanity. We are globally connected. We are so globally connected that we have been able, at breakneck speed, to spread a pandemic across the entire globe. That's how connected we are. We are also so connected that as individuals, as collective individuals, we have the power to stop the spread of this pandemic. We impact each other in such strong ways. And I think that what is happening now is evidence of that. Also, if you believe that we are an interconnected web, if you believe like I believe that I am part of you and you are part of me and we are part of them and they are part of us and we are all part of each other, then perhaps you can take that next step to believe that we all have the power to tap in to global human consciousness. We all have the ability, for good or for ill, to feel the collective feelings of everyone around us. In this country alone, 3.3 million people applied for unemployment this last last week. That's a record. That many people in this country have never applied for unemployment all at once. As Jess mentioned today in Joys and Sorrows, there are children who are living in homes that are unsafe. There are partners that are enduring disharmony in their relationships. There are people that don't know how they're going to pay their rent. There are people that have lost their health care. There are people that don't know how they are going to get back to work. And those people are probably feeling anxiety, dread, sadness, despair. They're feeling those things right now. And it makes sense in this interconnected web of which we all are a part, that we couldn't help, by nature of our connected humanity, to feel a little bit of that too. So if you are finding in these days of physical distancing, in these days of staying home, that you are exhausted, that you all you want to do is take another nap, if you are finding that you're crying without warning, if you're finding that you just cannot, with all this time that you suddenly have, all this time that has suddenly opened up for you, you just cannot fold that basket of laundry, it's probably because you are feeling what millions upon millions of other people in this country are feeling, which is collective grief. And that's okay. That's okay to feel that way. In fact, it shows that you're human. It shows that you care. It shows that you are adjusting as best you can to circumstances that no one in our collective memory has endured before. There's a meme that's been going around social media, and it's got the F word in it, so I won't say the whole thing, that says, it's okay if you are not your most productive during a global pandemic. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay if you have some days that are super productive and feel really good and the next day does not. It's okay. I want you all to be gentle with yourselves and each other. I want you to recognize that you are grieving and that we are all grieving for the world as it was and the unexpected world as it will be. David Kessler, in this interview, adds a sixth stage of grief. And this sixth stage of grief is meaning making. And I'll tell you what, because the stages of grief do not go in order, because they have no preordained timeline, you can be in multiple stages of grief at one time. I'm sure y'all have endured feeling sad and angry at once. I know that I have felt sad and angry all at once of accepting something and still being mad about it, you know? So meaning making, my Lord, is there meaning to be made now? I'm not going to infer what your meaning is, but as this week goes on, if you could share the meaning that you are making of this, the small, you know, the poem that I read this morning, those small moments of joy and contentment and comfort, those big epiphanies, you know, and the entire scale in between, if you could share those things, share it on the Facebook group, share it in an email chain, share the meaning that you're finding, because if you share the meaning that you're finding, we will all be able to make some meaning ourselves. I want to conclude this morning with this, and it's a bit of a topic shift, But I said that I was going to be timely in these sermons. And I know that for the most part, we share our liberal progressive politics. And I know that we are all feeling very frustrated with our particular leader in chief right now. So I'm going to get a little bit political and I'm going to mention him. President Trump said a couple of days ago that he wanted to see the country back to business as usual by Easter. He wanted to see the pews packed to the gills by Easter Sunday. He thought that would be a beautiful thing. Well, we're not going to be back together on Easter. We all know that would be catastrophic and devastating if we got back together on Easter. And myself and the board and the leadership at the church, our primary responsibility right now is keeping y'all safe. We won't be physically together on Easter. I said last week, and I know that Easter does not mean the same thing for all of us at the CVUU. I understand that. For me, the metaphors of resurrection are enormously important. So I understand that. I want to couch that quickly. I said last week that it will be Easter when we are all back together again. That's Easter. When we are all able to be in-house together will be Easter Sunday. I'm going to say this about Easter now. Easter does not belong to the empire. Easter does not belong to the empire. The powers that be, the government, does not tell us when it is Easter. Easter happened in the early, early pre-dawn mornings, pre-dawn hours of the morning. Easter happened in a tomb. Easter was witnessed by three women. And the empire wasn't there. The empire was what tried to stop Easter from happening. So when our leadership tells us that we'll be back online by Easter, I want to remind everyone that Easter belongs to the people. Easter belongs to the collective, and it does not belong to the empire. We are an interconnected web. None of us are alone. There are 50 people. There are 50 people watching worship this morning. None of us are alone, even if we are home alone. We are all connected. We are all a part of this. And it is our responsibility and our call as Unitarian Universalists to protect one another as best we can with the tools that we have. And right now, that means Sunday morning Zoom worship. It means phone calls. It means Google Hangouts and Facebook posts. And that's okay, because that's how we're going to keep each other safe and healthy and alive. I miss you all so much. I love you and I like you. And this community has never been more vital and important than it is right now. I want y'all to remember that. Amen and blessed be.